Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and I want to welcome everybody this afternoon. I have a beautiful guest. You're going to love the name of her book. You're just going to love it. But anyways, I want to tell everybody about the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. That will be going up. I'm working on it today and tomorrow. I'm probably a little bit on the first. I've had some errands and appointments that I had to go to, so I got kind of behind. But you know me. I burn the candle at both ends just to get it all up, and that's what I'll do. But because it's one of my loves, I think that's why. And Star Psychics, stars with a Z, psychics.com. We still have a special going on. I don't know how long I'm going to keep it. For new clients, first 3 minutes free, and then when they make a purchase the first time, there is another special offer for them. Anyways, without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest. You're going to love her. You're really just going to love her. And so let's bring her on. Hi, Marnie. How are you? By the way, I should say her name is Dr. Marnie Federaro. How are you today, Marnie?
Hi, Natalie. Yes, I'm great. Thank you for having me on Mystic Living today.
Well, and you know, I'm honored that you wanted to do this. You know, I don't know if you heard any of the shows, but whenever, you know, a publicist says, well, yeah, they'd love to be on the show, I'll write back and I'll say, well, have you listened to my shows, you know? And, you know, some just say, yeah, I listened to part of one and that was good enough for me. But anyways, you have such a background, it's unreal. You have done so much, and Marnie and I were talking about how similar we are to each other, you know, animal lovers and God and all the things that are spiritual, the synchronicities, oh my goodness, if we really look in our life, at our life, I should say, you're going to see about all the synchronicities that you have. But I think, too, Marnie, and you'll probably agree, you have to recognize them. You know, you can't be oblivious. You can't. Not that everything you do is going to be meaningful, but you have to understand that everything is done with purpose in mind. And I believe, and you probably do too, that everything is divine order. It's all the way it's supposed to be. Timing and everything.
Yes, most definitely it is. In fact, you know, it's very easy to get just caught up in your life and in the busyness of, you know, your day-to-day. And oftentimes it takes some sort of an awakening, oftentimes it's a tragedy or just a big loss that you've had, or, you know, a jolt where you expected something to happen and it didn't, and it makes you step back and really evaluate your life, and that kind of leads to an awakening where you pay more attention to signs and synchronicities and you get more in tune with what is the bigger purpose here. And that's kind of what happened to me.
Yes, I see there's a special date here that was important to you, and that was September 17th, 2019. What happened then?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly which date you are talking about.
Well, it says, ethereal people and divine events challenging her long-held belief system, forever transforming her life. Maybe that was a book that you wrote then?
Right. Well, I wrote my spiritual fiction, God Came to My Garage Sale, and that was published in September of 2019.
Okay.
And and it came about after having a real life change. I was married for 27 years, and at one point, finally, I paid attention to the red flags and realized after 27 years that I was in an abusive situation and I needed to escape it. And you know, I did. And when you make a decision like that, you know, your whole world comes crumbling down. It's like you really just your hopes and dreams for the present and the future, and then just the trauma bonds and connections of the past, it really is life-altering. And so I ended up, and it was a very good decision that I left that. Unfortunately, as a result, you know, I lost everything. You know, what I believed to be true and what I was told about our finances and our home and all that were not true. They were lies. And so I lost everything. I lost my American dream, which was my home, all my money, you know, most of my belongings, that type of thing. And, you know, I could live with losing everything because the important things were, you know, my children and staying true to my values. But when I lost an adult child to parental alienation, this child who I raised and was very close with for over 20 years, just to have that child align with the abuser, align with you know, research shows that that's very, very common, that will happen with children because they know that the loving targeted parent is there forever. They love them to the moon and back, and you know their love is unconditional, but they side with the parent that's conditional, who's actually using them as a weapon against them. But anyway, that was the most devastating thing.
I can only try to understand that, because that had to be devastating to you. I mean, I have one son. My husband was, I wasn't brave enough like you were, but my husband bossed me around. He didn't abuse me. Well, I guess he did. He mentally abused me. But you know, I was kind of brainwashed from when I was really young that, you know, you don't leave them. Where are you going to go? I certainly didn't want to move in with my parents. Oh, goodness. And I already had my son. But to have my son side with him would have been awful for me, which he did not. Very devoted son.
And actually, Well, I was going to say, Natalie, actually, I really, even though I was married to a very malevolent, you know, conniving, secretive abuser, I still believe that children need to have both parents in their lives. And they just need to understand what they're dealing with. So you can't fault yourself for staying in the
But you know what, Marnie,
in the marriage,
I never
in the relationship.
I never even thought about doing anything about it. That's the sad part.
Right.
And
it's not a sad thing, actually, Natalie. It's very natural to stay in the situation. A lot of people do, and they make the best of it. And, you know, you have to stay true to your own values. And that's what I did, which, you know, had me staying in this situation for 27 years, because I believed in goodness. I believed that people were inherently honest. I believed that, you know, I should just stick it out, and I made a commitment, and I certainly wanted stability for my children. So I think it's extremely natural to stay in a situation, and it can happen. The abuse can happen to both men and women. It's not gender specific. But in my case, there was a defining moment that I just had no choice, and I had to escape and leave. But when I did, you know, actually, as tough as so much of what I experienced was the beauty and wonder of God and divine and the higher source really was there for me. And I ended up having this garage sale, and some miracles happened that just blew me away, so much so that I needed to write about it. But since then, I had many other experiences. You know, when you are exposed to things that are not necessarily tangible and you need to try to make sense of them, one thing to do is to research and to look into this. So I actually attended the IONS conferences, which for a number of years, which is the International Association for Near-Death Studies. And I heard account after account of miracles that have happened to people, that there are thousands of them that you really can't dispute. And when you have your own experiences, and luckily in my case, many of the experiences, I had a witness who said, yes, that really did happen, which also was very, very helpful in confirming. You know, so good things really happen. And now I'm living a beautiful life in the Caribbean, and I'm, you know, I after teaching for 35 years, I was a high school special ed teacher in the Chicago suburbs for 35 years. 12 of those years, I was an adjunct professor teaching graduate school at Northern Illinois University. Really loved my career, but I was coming close to retirement. And when I did, it was kind of coincided with my big escape. And I really had to really think about where I wanted to spend the rest of my life and what I want to be doing. And I am passionate about nature and the ocean. And so my life partner and I, someone who was a close friend for years, but we decided to make a life together. We moved to the Caribbean, and I've just loved it. I've been here a couple years. I've got this book that has won the 2020 Best Books Award with the American Book Fest, and it was very well received. Even James Redfield, who wrote The Celestine Prophecy. Yeah, he endorsed my book and is on the... Yeah, he endorsed my book, which was fantastic.
That's an honor right there, Marnie, to have somebody else.
Yes, it was.
Oh, wow, yeah. Everybody respects that man. Everybody respects that man.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, his Celestine Prophecy was a spiritual fiction, but it was also inspired by true events, which is what my book is about. You know, it's inspired by true events. And in the past couple of years, I've been fortunate to be a co-author in four other best-selling anthology books, and I'm participating in one right now. I'm writing a chapter right now, and I have a four-book series in the works with one at the publisher right now. So I've had so much fun pursuing this interest I have of writing. And it helps me make sense of what I've been through, but also what I'm experiencing, all the positives. The writing is just very therapeutic for me.
You said something. It's fun. You're having fun. You're not.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I tell everybody that, you know, because I do what I do. It's a passion of mine. It's introducing people to the world to people like you who might not otherwise know who you are. That's the thing.
Right, right.
I help to do that, facilitate the knowledge in your books. And, I mean, I've been doing this for quite a few years now. I don't know. I'm close to number 300 for my interviews. I don't even call them interviews, my talks. But I had something interesting said to me a few weeks ago. He said, you are the soul food to the world. You bring all of this, all of us, to the world. I said, well, I don't really look at it that way. He said, but you do. He says, you may not even
right.
know
and
it.
Right, and
our
voices matter.
Yeah,
you know, our voices
true.
Matter. So and for you to give a platform to others is such a generous gift that you are giving, not only to, you know, the people that you have conversations with, but just the people tuning in. And it's got to be rewarding for you as well. So
it
thank
is.
You so much for what
oh,
you do.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'll tell you, and I'm so blessed that I don't even really have to ask for people to come on my show. I've got 6 emails here. So-and-so wants to come on your show. So-and-so wants to. And, you know, I mean, I started doing them 2 a week. I've slowed back a little bit because, I'm doing the magazine today and tomorrow, probably a little bit on the first because I got behind. But that's a big job for me that I do. Another passion. But it's just,
most definitely.
You know, I think you have to do, you have to give something, but it's got to be a passion. Like, look what you do. You know, but you wanted to come on my show, and I mean, I love it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people
no,
that don't even
wonderful.
Know me? Oh, it is. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And I don't ask anything in return. Oh, sometimes I'll say to the publicist, hey, can I get the book? You know, that's about it. I don't care about
right.
anything else, and it's not that important to me. It really is not. I get to speak with somebody who's so renowned and who's done so much with her life. My goodness.
Well, I feel I've been very fortunate to actually be at a position in my life where, you know, the light bulb is on and I'm aware and I am present. And luckily I survived it, a situation that really could have been, you know, almost deadly. You know, because really when you suffer abuse, even if it's, like you were saying, emotional abuse, that can still, you know, impact your physical being as well. So, you know, I just think being aware and of the signs and synchronicities and the beauty of this world, and, you know, when you are open to that, more and more positive things come your way.
They do. They really, really do. You know, there have been times, and I will say this in all honesty, that I'll sit back and I'll say, oh, gosh, look at what I've done. Look at how much I do. What am I really getting? And, you know, I'll ask that of God sometimes periodically. Okay, what's coming to me? What's the deal? But, you know, I think I have very good health, but I think it's just the fact that I can use my voice and I can connect with people. I mean, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I never thought I would be doing this. I mean, if you would have told me this 25 years ago or so, or longer, when I worked for America Online, oh, Natalie, you're going to have a radio show. You're going to have a magazine. I would have told them they were crazy.
Right. No, it's really, you know, and I'm, even though I'm living a beautiful life right now doing what I'd like to do, where I like to do it, this wasn't in my plan either. And, you know, but I think we all have to adjust to what is presented to us. I had no idea that I would lose a child. And it's been close to 7 years now. Just the devastating heartbreak is almost hard to, you know, go on in life because, you know, parental alienation and losing a child to this, to a revengeful, vindictive ex-spouse, and knowing that, you know, the child is struggling themselves, you know, and they live in fear, and, you know, it's a very, very tough road for them as well. But you know what? Everyone has their own journey. And, you know, when you come to accept that that is part of their journey, and even the loss is part of my journey, you know, and you go through all the same stages of grief, you know, but awareness is very important. My next book that's coming out, and actually the 4-book series, is bringing awareness to domestic violence and parental alienation and narcissistic abuse, that type of thing, without any kind of slandering anyone else. I mean, we just all have to be aware of different personality types and make choices for ourselves to surround ourselves with goodness and staying true to your values. And my values are honesty and love and compassion.
Right. Oh, I
and
can tell that.
We, as
I
we
can.
Talked before the But as we talked before the show, we both have a passion about animals and animal welfare. And, you know, if we stay true to our values, then goodness eventually prevails. And it may not be in the time frame that we want. It may
yeah,
not even be in this lifetime.
Truth. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right. But we must accept it, you know, and find joy in our daily living.
That's true. That's true. You know, the husband that I had passed away from Alzheimer's.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
so
that.
My journey was not over just by the way he treated me. It was worse when he got that. I mean, he tried
sure.
to kill me every day, and that is no joke. And so, you know, while my son and I had a talk, and I didn't want to put him anywhere, I would have lost my home. And my son said to me, Mom, let's see how this plays out for you. If it's too much, well, it got to be too much. But I had this feeling about myself that I could do it. And I didn't owe it to him. I just knew that this was part of what I was supposed to do. And I was always a caregiver in my life, Marnie. I worked in a nursing home.
Yeah.
You know, and I did hair there because I was a hairdresser in Michigan.
Oh,
and
wow.
I looked back on my life and I thought, that's all you've done. I wanted to be a nurse. My doctor said, oh, you should have been a doctor, for God's sakes. But you can see what my background was. You can see what it was pushing me to. And I never got physically hurt. I was okay. I had an encounter with Jesus in the bathroom on the floor. I've told this story many times, but you'll appreciate this. I would lock the doors. I'd lock myself in a room because he would come after me. And so I was sobbing on the bathroom floor, and I kept thinking to myself, how much longer do I have to do this, you know? And not fearing for my life, really. I was smart. I didn't thrash back. I didn't try because he would have killed me. I mean, if I would have went at him with something, oh, he would have killed me. There was no doubt in my mind.
Right.
So I just stood there and backed away and didn't say anything. So I'm on the floor, right, sobbing away, and I look down, and I see these bare feet. And then just above the feet was a white robe.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. Well, I knew it was Jesus. I knew. And Jesus has come to me in my dream before. But anyways, I knew, and as soon as it clicked in my head what this was, I got up, wiped my tears, opened the door. I was good to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so,
well,
I mean,
Natalie,
I think that was
you're a very strong person to have gone through that. And just you sharing your story and also sharing this choice that you made to stay and to do what you could to care for your husband is really, I'm sure, helping other people that are going through something similar. Because, you know, we need to hear how people handle challenges so that when we are faced with them, that could be incorporated in our decision-making of what we need to do.
He was brilliant. He was a teacher. He was a middle school teacher, science. And
wonderful.
Smart. Taught me how to use my first computer and Apple. He didn't have to teach me how to type, but he showed me things because he taught the girls in the office, because they didn't know anything. It was when the app, that everybody could get an Apple. And that's when it started, the big computer thing, the Rose, you know. So there was a lot of things I learned from him. And maybe this was a way of just paying back. And I, you know, my son was the one who worried when he'd come over. He came over just about every day. Everybody was working around me, but, you know, I wasn't afraid. I just knew I could handle it. And I did.
Well, you know,
I go
in
to the...
life here, In life here, we need to take the bad with the good. And, you know, from what I believe now from hearing so many testimonials from others and just my own experiences, that we are, you know, here on earth to experience the highs and lows of earthly existence. And there's a good chance that we signed up for this.
I'm sure.
You know,
absolutely.
We could have soul contracts with other people, like even your husband and even my ex-husband. You know, there could be a soul contract with that person to say, listen, we need to experience what it's like emotionally to go through something. And you know, luckily, both of us have survived it.
Right.
And
he left me okay. I mean, I have his retirement. I have his Social Security.
Right.
And otherwise, you know, I had mine going on at the same time. But then, of course, you lose, the wife loses it if the husband passes because you maintain the husband.
Right.
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm not frugal. But I help my family a lot. I mean, I help my granddaughter, just turned 17, and my son is my only son. But I'll tell you something, and when I think about your son, my son is the most. If I could find a man like him, I'd have it made. That's no joke. He worships his wife. He adores his daughter, and he's close to his. I hear from him every day,
single day,
sometimes twice a day. And he'll laugh and he'll say, how many people talk to their mothers every day? And I said, well, they're not lucky then. You know, then just, you
right,
know, that's
right.
That's really their fault, not ours. And
well, you're both fortunate to have each other in your life. And that's fantastic. And you're doing what you want to do, and I'm doing right now what I am meant to do and what I enjoy doing. And
tell me about
so
the Caribbean. Is the water really that beautiful?
Oh my gosh! Is it?
Isn't it a green?
I'm
more green, isn't it? There is that. Is that?
Not where I am. I guess
okay.
I would say many shades of blue, many shades
of
blue with green in it. But I live in the U.S. Virgin Islands, and it's just fantastic here. It's a beautiful life, and I love to go to the ocean and be in the ocean, and you know, I'm snorkeling several times a week.
Oh, you're lucky. I'm afraid of the water.
Something happened to me when I was a little girl.
Well, I'm glad you do. I mean, I love to look at it. I love to be by it. And I'll walk in it. But you can probably see my body gets a little tense, like, where are we going here?
Right. And I, you know,
somebody tried to drown me. That's why.
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, but at least you've acknowledged your situation and your fear, and then you've got some reasons for it. And then you know, you would just choose to be on land more. I really love to be in the water, and just this past week I saw a beautiful spotted eagle ray in the water, and I would say that I got a little nervous too, even though I'm in the water and comfortable. You know, you just, something that big that's swimming right by
you is
kind of scary. Yeah,
but
at the same time, I had so much fun. And every day, you know, when I'm in the water, I see, you know, I see tarpon and barracuda and I see turtles, sea turtles. We have a lot of sea turtles out here. And just beautiful Caribbean fish and you know, it's an exciting life here, so I really enjoy it. Although I have to say, Natalie, wherever I have been, I have found beauty in the surroundings. So I spent most of my life in Illinois, in the Midwest, and I have to say I loved it. I loved it there, too. And, you know, I love the cornfields, and I love the flat land, and I love the seasons. And so wherever I am, I think I enjoy, you know, and I've been fortunate enough to travel to many places in the world. I even lived in Athens, Greece when I was a kid for a while. And But I've been to Israel and Jerusalem, and I've been to
Thailand.
Oh,
that's where I want to go.
And,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous. And I've been, I've seen many places in Europe, and pretty soon I'll be going to Indonesia and, experiencing different cultures and different people. So I find beauty in the world and in the world's people, as well as just the natural surroundings.
Okay, so why did you choose to go to the Caribbean? Why there?
Well, we had been to, my life partner Rick and I had been to many different places in the world, internationally as well as just
okay.
in the United States. And we kept on coming back to the Caribbean. We love it. It's beautiful here. But also he is very much into astronomy and has some major telescopes, and he loves to scuba dive. And so that is something that he can just do on a regular basis here. And I love the ocean. And at the time when we had figured out, it took us about 3 years to actually find the perfect home for us here. Because this island, even though it's a pretty small island, the east end is more of a desert and the west end is more of a rainforest. And there's it's a very different place from one end of the island to the other. So anyway, we took a lot of time to decide where we wanted to be. And so it was really thought out, but it was when we made the decision to come here, it was just perfect. But I was also teaching at the time when we were starting to look, and I liked the idea of also staying within the United States, and I could be in the Caribbean in the Virgin Islands, but still be in the United States.
Exactly.
Even though we drive on the left here, I mean, so I feel
like
Oh, you do.
Yeah,
all the Virgin Islands, you drive on the left, but at least we're using the same currency and, there's a U.S. post office and that type of thing. We certainly don't have...
So you've got a little bit of home there, and it's homey.
Little
and
bit.
You don't... I can understand not wanting to live in another country. I mean, the way the world is, anything can happen wherever you are, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
But let's get to your book. How is it that God came to my garage sale? What happened? What happened?
I just think that during that time of, I've had many garage sales and I've gone to garage sales and, but I think during that time when I experienced such significant loss, I had to, get rid of, a lot of material possessions that, at one time were important, or they were things I was hoping to save for grandchildren down the road, that type of thing. When my whole world came crashing in, I had this garage sale, and I think it really was a humbling experience to just, realize the life that I was living was really not reality. It just forced me to have to, be open to whatever comes my way. And because I think it's because of so much loss that I was able to just, open my eyes and pay close attention to the people that came to the garage sale, as well as just the whole experience. And one miracle happened after another. Now, of course, the book is a spiritual fiction, so not everything happened on this, one weekend. But it certainly, many things happened around this time.
You came to a good realization of what was going on and what you needed to do.
Right.
And what you were doing was the right thing.
Right.
I'm originally from Detroit.
Right thing for me.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm from Detroit. I always tell everybody, land of ice and snow. I didn't like it there. We always came to the South, always. I'm in South Carolina. We always came to the South.
Okay.
I always loved it here. And my son came here first. He, you know, graduated from Wayne State University, but he never really used anything with his degrees. He's got his own business, but he always laughs and he says, "Yeah, I'm the only." He has a runs a flooring company. Well, he has a flooring company. He installs floors like, you know, tile and wood flooring, and he does big homes, 6 bathrooms. I always laugh and say, "Where do these people get all their money to get a?" And what are you going to do with 6 bathrooms? I mean, really?
Right. Well, you're going to have to clean them. That's one
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Well, you have got those many bathrooms, you got somebody cleaning them for you. But it's really funny. And but we followed him down here. He came here first. And talk about, I have to tell you this because of what you've been through. We came here the last summer. We had the drive down here from Detroit to see my son and everything. Well, leaving was horrifying for me because my son wasn't married then. He had a girlfriend. He had his fiancée, but they weren't married yet. Anyways, he would get in his truck, and this is no joke, Marnie. He would go from place to place to place to see us going down 278 till he couldn't go any further with us. That was horrible.
Wow.
I kept looking at that. So we're driving, and I said, "Okay, God, I got something for you here. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do." And this is not a joke. I did this. My husband must have thought I was nuts. I said, "Look, you either get me down here with my son, or I'm going to do something that's going to get me down here, and I don't think you want me to do that." So we came home. We had a business, right? Poor God. He listens to my ultimatum. No, it wasn't. I was just pleading with him.
Right.
But anyways, and I was sobbing in the car. I couldn't stand it. I just didn't want to do it again. Came home. We had a business, not a big business, and a home. Came home. We had tried to sell the business before. Nobody wanted to buy it. I go in my day back, first day back. A guy comes in, hands me a card, and he said, "I want you to read the back of it." And I read it, and he said, "I want to buy your business."
Wow, wow.
That's not a joke. And I mean, I
unbelievable timing. But you know what? God does that. God,
yes.
You know, puts
so that was an affirmation. Okay. So
yes.
We sold it to him. My house sold in 9 days just before 9/11.
Wow, wow.
Uh-huh. We arrived here on October 31st on Halloween.
Yeah.
So I said, "Yeah, the witch arrived on our broom." No, I was just always kidding people. But, no, that's the truth. And that's the truth. That's exactly
what
happened.
No, and I will tell you, you know, things happen in synchronistic, you know, divine timing. And I'm amazed also that even to this day, things come my way right at the perfect time. And
mm-hmm.
That's what has led me to believe that there is either a reason for everything or a meaning for everything.
You know, I mean, I was sobbing in the car, and my son had given me this little, not really a beanie baby, but this little thing that was really soft, and it had a pilot's uniform, and I had it on the console, and I just sobbed, and
yeah.
I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it because I was watching him, and I knew how it was hurting him as well. Well, that's when and my husband looked at me. He said, "You really just said that?" I said, "Yes, and I really mean it."
Yeah.
So we know God was listening. We know to have something happen in succession like that within a matter of, well, like the first week we got back in August. And like I said, you know, it's about a month to 6 weeks to close the house and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was that quick.
Yeah, that was definitely synchronistic, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and I've experienced that as well, you know, just with so many different things in my life. And, you know, it just, and I also grew up atheist, so I did not have any exposure to organized religion or spirituality or anything like that. It basically was something
mm-hmm.
that evolved over time within me. I just knew there had to be some sort of higher power because just just our bodies alone are miracles. Just to be able to experience the things that we do and the emotions that, you know, go along with everything, there just had to, I just had to realize that not everything is tangible and can give you the evidence that you need when you need it. And in time, it does show itself.
It does. But even, you know, my parents died less than 5 months apart. I was an only child. I have had a lot of things happen to me in my life. I almost died.
Sure.
I mean, lots of things. But that thing that happened with my son, you know, and I was so serious, and I'm sure God thought, uh-oh, what is she going to do when she gets back? I better do some fancy shuffling here.
when we ask for divine intervention, so when we ask for support and we ask for guidance or we ask for a resolution to some daunting situation, you know, I find that God hears. It's like you were saying in the beginning of our conversation, you know, you can't just be passive and have everything just come to you. You have to be active in searching out what is best for you. You have to
speak out what you want. I end the show, everything I put on Instagram, I end it with believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And that, I mean that.
Right.
I live by that. And that's the truth. Now, you know, I think, see, because we're so much alike, it's unreal. But I grew up as a Catholic. I was a little Catholic girl with all of this sacraments and, you know, but I questioned
and
things
I
when I was 9
Catholic
years old.
As an adult. As an adult, I became Catholic.
Okay.
Because
and there's nothing
that
wrong
was
with
a,
that.
You know,
yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. I, you know, but at this point in my life, I really am not, I don't participate in organized religion just because I really believe that that's man's, you know, doing, that it's not God's doing necessarily. But I was very thankful to be part of the Catholic Church, and I was actually a lector. So I was reading, I think I was a lector for about 6 years. And so it was good for me to read the Bible and to try to understand this and realize I came from, you know, a background where I had no exposure to this.
Yeah.
And so it's been a good thing. It's all part of our journey. It's all part of our journey. And I, you know, I feel very blessed that I'm at a stage now that I can write about my experiences, and I can, and people are interested in it. You know, my book, God Came to My Garage Sale, is very well received, and I have fantastic endorsements on my next book that should be coming out maybe in a couple of weeks. And so I've had a lot of support for just being myself and speaking on issues that in a very loving way, you know, a very objective way to try to make sense of some of the losses and pains. And in my doing that, I've heard from many people that they really appreciate that because they don't have the voice to do that at this time. Or, you know, it helps them make sense of what they're going through. And I think when we speak up about things, good and bad, either it's very important. It helps others, but it also provides a lot of healing for our own souls.
It does. It does. And, you know, if you look back on your life, I know I do it with mine, the things that I had to, I wouldn't say, you could say endure, but it was okay. I mean, my mother wasn't, my family life was awful, but I mean, I was an only child, but I wasn't spoiled, but that's all,
but
that's
endured.
All the past.
We,
I always say it's all the
endure
past.
Endure is not a bad thing. You endured it, and
I did.
And that was part of your journey, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And most likely, your parents were doing the best that they could, too.
They were.
You know, you know, most likely, not everyone, you know, I mean, because there are abusers that, you know, purposely set out to destroy other people.
Well,
and
I understand why my mother was the way she was. She came from a family, there were 9 brothers and sisters. She was the oldest. She wanted nice things. She came from Pennsylvania. She wanted to have a home. She wanted this. She wanted that. I mean, you know, my aunt always said she wasn't real thrilled when she knew she was going to have me, but it happened. Okay, so we know how that goes. But I think she, I mean, she just, she had goals in her life, and she did it. She really, really did. You know, she was in the insurance business. She was the first woman adjuster in a tri-state area. She was recognized. So she, you know, she could have been a politician, but she was born at the wrong time. If it would have been a little later, it would have been perfect. Oh, yeah. She was tough. She was the godmother, quote, unquote, of the insurance world. She did something for you. She's going to call you. You're going to do something for her.
Right.
That was no joke.
Right.
I mean, she was feared. She was Italian, and she was feared. But you see, I learned all of that, and I'm just softer. I think you and I could both stand up and defend and say, well, you're not going to do that now while I'm here. But for the most part, we love. For the most part, we love, and we want everybody to be happy, and I'm always telling everybody, you know, no matter where I go, I had to go to the drugstore today, and the gal did a little extra for me when I was calling from between the doctor and the prescription, the new one, and I thanked her, and she looked at me, she said, why are you thanking me? I said, because you were very nice on the phone, and I talked to you twice, and I said, it's very important when you make somebody feel good about what they're doing. They're not asking for something that's like, you know, I'm not asking for millions of dollars to fall from the sky. And I said, and I want to let you know how much I appreciate you. Well, she said, you just made my day. I said, good.
Probably did make her day. Just our comments and connecting with people, you know, really can have an impact. And, you know, I believe in goodness, and I believe in you know, spreading the word of love. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you can allow people to mistreat you. And even that is giving, you know, like I'm thinking for my children, if I were to have stayed in that situation that I was in, I'd be role modeling a negative behavior. I would be, you know, giving the message that it's okay to be treated poorly when really it's not okay. It's not okay to do that. And so we make decisions based on that. But I believe that, that we are all love, and anyone that has come back from a near-death experience, and many of the people that have written spiritual books and speak about this, every single person said that love is the basis for everything, that we are all love, that we are all more connected and more alike than we are different. But that doesn't mean you have to accept anything that's negative. You know, you just choose to surround yourself with positive people or people that resonate with your values.
That's right. I bet you are a really good teacher. I can hear it. I could sit
and
listen to you
so
all day in your class.
Teaching. Well, I tell you, I had so much fun teaching, and I still am in contact with a number of my students that, of course, are older now and have their own families and that type of thing. But I really, really enjoyed, you know, it was a calling. It was a very natural calling. Actually, both of my parents were teachers, so I was always around, you know, education. But
you have other
you
children
know,
now. You mentioned children. You have other children?
Well, I have 2 children.
Okay. You have the one boy, and now what's the other one?
Well, I have a son and a daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are adults now.
Oh,
and And one, I, you know, unfortunately, because of parental alienation.
Right, you don't, yeah.
I'm not in contact with, you know, my daughter, unfortunately. It's very sad. But at the same time, I have faith that the truth will prevail, that at some point her light bulb will go on and she'll realize that, wait a minute, my mom was always there for me and loved me unconditionally. And, you know, so I'm just hoping and praying that that will happen. But, you know, it is a process, and it really is like a brainwashing, like a cult. And
it is.
And there's a lot of research that explains why, you know, children, young and old, align with the abusing parent. And, you know, they don't want, you know, the bad things to happen to them. So it's safer to stay with, you know, the abusing parent. But it's a sad situation. But at the same time, you know, I just believe in goodness, and I believe that honesty and the truth will prevail at some point. And it, you know, look, it took me how many years before my light bulb went on, or before I had the strength to really say, wait a minute, this isn't right.
And, you know, people have to also remember, Marnie, that life is really short. And I don't think you realize that until you get older. I mean, most people don't. Some, when they're very young, yes, but mostly they don't. They just live their life. They go and do this and that and all of that and mistreat this person and nice to this person, all that. But really, it can turn on a dime. I've seen it.
Definitely. And, you know, people, I also find people that are mistreat other people, that have, you know, malevolent motives, you know, that are, even a best friend can be extremely abusive, and you put up with it for a long time until finally
you don't.
Sure. But, you know,
yes,
that is really, it's a reflection on them more than it is a reflection on you, you know. And so they have to come to terms with, you know, who they are and how they treat people. And you know, I don't want to focus on all of the negative. I just choose not to. I just hope that goodness prevails. You know, I've luckily with my son, you know, we are very close, and you know, he has a relationship with both parents as I would like him to have. I think now his eyes are opening a little bit more, and he's able to, even as an adult, you know, nearing 30, he can start to be independent, because what happens with abusers is they
take that away. They take that away from you.
Well, they make them dependent, or make them feel bad about themselves, that they are not capable enough of doing things when really they are capable. And they can make it on their own. But that's part of the need of the abuser, is to you know, keep a hold of people. And you know, if they keep them down, unfortunately. And it takes a strong person. And I believe my son is a very strong person to just open their eyes and make decisions for themselves. And both of my children are beautiful. And They had a wonderful foundation in so many ways, and I just,
and now
you know,
they have
some
to do what they have
parents,
to do. Yep.
They have to do it themselves. They have to,
that's
you
right.
know, and I've put it out there. You know, if you go to my website, which is the name of my book,
right,
www.GodCameToMyGarageSale.com. I have numerous interviews with people, and I've been featured in magazines and other writing situations where I put it out there, and I talk about goodness, and I talk about domestic violence, and I talk about choice. And there's even a video that's directed to the adult alienated children, that it's really up to them at some point, their mom or dad that they have chosen to separate from, lots of times it's due to independent thinker syndrome, where they think it's them making the decisions, but really they are a victim of abuse. It's a form of child abuse, because really science and researchers have shown that there's no natural reason for a child to reject a normal range loving parent. And they are taught to hate, and that is, you know, I mean, that's a fact that's been researched here. And, you know, so anyway, there's a big interview there.
No, I'm
on
looking
my
at
website.
It. You've got a lot here, your happenings, your books. And
yeah?
the site is the name of your book, God Came to My Garage,
yes.
sale.com. And if you just go
right.
to that in the beginning, you're going to see all about, there's a welcome, and it's got the picture of the book, and it's just and a beautiful picture of you. You're a beautiful lady. I wish I could have sat in your class. I would have loved it. But you know what, Marty?
Well,
when I was in school, I didn't utilize, I absorbed, and I'm really intelligent, but I didn't know it until I got a lot older. Nobody encouraged me. You know, they don't. And it depends upon the era that you're born in. That's what affects you. It's your environment. It's, you know, my mother was about herself. My father went to work, and there I was to fend for myself, all by myself. I did. But I think when you're growing up,
but it
made
you who you are today too. So any of the challenges that
yeah.
we have
oh, yeah.
make us into. In fact, in some ways, I have to think. My abuser. I have to thank my ex-husband or the best friend that betrayed me or, you know, other negative people. I have to thank them, because really, without the negative, you don't really appreciate
no.
or acknowledge the positive and the light. And
no.
so you almost have to have, like, even what's happening in our world today, which is just so devastating, there it's almost like a spiritual warfare. A lot of people think it's just political
or medical,
and all that. And I don't believe that at all. I believe there's spiritual warfare going on, and that at some point the light will, you know, prevail. And
it
so,
will.
You know,
we know it.
But
we
you need
know
to
it.
Experience,
and,
yes, but you need to experience the dark and negative, you know, to be able to fully appreciate the positive and the light.
I always like to look at it is that, you know, look at a piece of paper, and you have pluses and minuses, and the pluses are all the beautiful things that you've done, and it's going to outweigh anything that's happened to you, period. It's just... You
sure.
know, I'll say to people, look, if you don't have a lot on that left side of that piece of paper, you're not getting past those gates. Let me tell you, you need to do something right in your life, do something positive. And you're right. I look back on all the things that I endured, and that's what I did. I did it, but I did it, and I stand tall. I really do.
For your listeners that are, you know, in radio land right now, if you are struggling with a situation, a toxic relationship, or an unhealthy work environment or family situation, you know, it would be good to just take time and reflect on the positive, whether you make a list or not. Reflect on the positive and reflect on what you want and try to manifest the life that you are meant to live. Be authentic, be genuine, and you know, love yourself enough to move in the direction that would be the healthiest and happiest for you. So your listeners that are, you know, maybe tuning in because, you know, they're struggling and they'd like to hear some advice or something.
That's right.
There are wonderful things and situations and people out there. And you know, it's good to just take a breath and just slow down and reflect on the positives that you have, or reflect on what you would like in your life and start moving towards that.
You know, I can sit to my son, if I could sit in the dark on my porch and watch the deer. There's five of them. One is a male, and the rest are the females. If I could sit and I just look at them, I have to peek through my little blinds. You have to be so careful because they run. He said, "Why are you so enthralled with that?" I said, "Because it's life, and it's coming. They're coming
right
to me. They're coming. I'm offering them this great food, and I cut up apples, Marnie, like a freak,
no.
A little tiny pieces because I don't want them to choke." Listen to me.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Now I want to go to Africa. My son said to me, "Oh, I can see it now. You're going to go there, and you're going to encounter all the little baby, the little elephants, and all of this and all of that, and you're going to want to take something home." And I said, "My dad always told me I should have been raised on a farm, because he thought I would have been wonderful at it. But you
right
know what, Marnie? I would have been, but I would have cried every time and sobbed every time we lost something, no matter what it was, a chicken, you know,
right.
It wouldn't matter. It wasn't like this before. It's just all of a sudden I'm like this advocate of, you know, look at these little babies. They're lives.
Right.
You know, they have eyes and noses, and they can show you that they love you. I see it all the time. I see it all the time
right
on
well,
YouTube and
definite
Instagram. I watch hours at night
miracles
after I'm offline.
There's definite miracles just in so many things out there. And
there
to
are
stop and appreciate them like you're appreciating them is a wonderful thing. But also, we can do a lot just within ourselves. I believe it was Nelson Mandela that you know has this beautiful quote about our thoughts becoming, you know, our words and our thoughts become our actions and
yeah
eventually become our destiny. So we need to create the kind of life that we would like to have, and a lot of that is really within our own power. Our own thoughts.
That's true. I mean, I just, you know, I sometimes I just, I'll say to God, just give me a lot more years on earth. There's just so much I still want to do, but, you know, I'm getting older. I know that. And, but I'm, no, not yet. No. You know how
no,
we do.
But, and it's important to stay in the present, because really, we can't control what tomorrow will bring. We can't control it. We can strive for something and hope for something, but our energies probably are better spent focusing on the present and what we can control, and that is ourselves. We can't control what other people will do or say.
No.
We can't control so many different things, but we can definitely within ourselves, you know, set our intentions for how we want to live. And being present and mindful is, you know, there's a lot to that, because we can't change the past as, you know, what's happened. We can learn
nope
from it, and we can't control the future, but we can look at the present and we can look at ourselves and just be the best version of ourselves that we can be.
That's right.
Staying true
that
to your
is
own, stay true to your values. So if your values are interviewing people and getting the word out about,
yeah,
you know, other people, but also sharing your story, then that's a good thing. It, you know, your magazine is a fantastic one. I know you featured me several months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was just an excerpt. Yeah, there was just an excerpt from my book. So I'm actually thrilled to be able to talk with you and connect with you in real time.
You've got to let me know when your new book comes out, because we're going to put it back in the magazine.
Sure.
But I can be in touch with your publicist and find out. And I am so happy you wanted to come on my show. Just you know, all of this, if you can imagine this, lifts me up. I mean, when I do
yeah
my magazine,
yeah,
I'll work on it today, I put my headphones on, and it's like I'm on a different plane. That's no joke.
Right.
You have
a great purpose, and you're, not only is it fulfilling for you personally, but you are giving a gift to so many people I mean, thanks to modern technology,
yeah.
you know, you are streamed on many different platforms, and
yep.
many people are tuning in either live or they're tuning in
to the
on
recording.
Yep. Which is fine, and, you know, just providing another outlet for people, another opportunity to, you know, hear others talk about life and the world and ideas and, you know, so many different things. So
it's a beautiful
a wonderful
world, isn't
thing
it?
That you, yep, it's a wonderful thing of what you are doing. So thank
well,
you again.
Well, I'll keep doing
so
it. I think you know, I didn't want to do a radio show at all in the very beginning, and I had a co-host at the time, and she became like my sister, and she passed away suddenly, and I didn't do the show for 3 months because I just couldn't. And then I got back
sure.
into it. Somebody wanted to interview me, and they said, you know, really, people want to hear your voice. You know, you're so sincere, and, you know, usually I'm very upbeat and jolly, and because I love what I do, and that's how I
sure.
display it. That's what I do. And so I'm forever grateful that I'm been back on the air now. It's 9 years I've been doing this.
Right. Wonderful. Well, it's definitely a calling, and I'm honored that, you know, that you're having me on the show here too. And you know, it's your listeners know that you have so many different guests and you talk about so many different things. And
right.
no matter what, you're going to come away with some new knowledge, and you're going to come away with another new perspective to consider.
Exactly. And you're going to feel better. You're going to feel better
yeah.
About what you're hearing. And I want to tell everybody, you can always listen to the past recordings on blogtalkradio.com/stars with a Z cast. They're all there. All of them, and
yeah.
all how many 200 of them, whatever there are, and
right.
it, you know, it's a. I'm happy, and I'm so happy you came on my show. I can't
well,
tell you that
thank
enough.
You.
And hopefully, we'll have you on again after you have your other books out, or at least the next book out. And I'm going to make sure that we get something in the magazine for you to help promote your book and. That magazine, you know, it's a beautiful thing too. But you're a very beautiful lady,
definitely.
And thank you again for coming on my show. And we will talk again, okay? And for the listeners out there, you can always
Natalie,
hear this
you.
A second time. You can go to the show page, and it's all there. And I have to thank Candy for pushing everything out like she does, and Jackie, who writes a lot of stuff. She's another one. She's the one that supplied me with the questions, but I always tease her. I said, I don't use them. She says, yeah, but I like doing
right.
it anyway. So I said, okay.
Right,
so,
right.
Because I don't. I don't have anything in front of me. We just talk. And that's the best way for me. I can't read a script. I just can't do that. So,
right, definitely. And I don't need to prepare at this point for anything because we're just having a conversation, just an everyday conversation.
It's like we've
conversation,
known each other for years over a cup of coffee
definitely.
Sitting on the beach. There you go.
Right, right, yes. right. Well,
well,
thank
you, have
you
a great
so much
day,
for the
dear.
Opportunity. All right, I really appreciate it. It was nice to talk with you and be part of your show.
Thank you so much for coming on, and we will do this again. So, everybody, my listeners, my next show is going to be, oh, goodness gracious, it's going to be September. Oh, I don't want to hear it. No, excuse me, it's going to be August, not September. I'm jumping a month. The next show, I have two next week. I have one on the 4th and one on the 6th, and then I kind of back off a little bit. I have a man who will be in Jerusalem. I'm going to really pick his brain. He doesn't know it yet, but but anyways,
mm-hmm.
and because I feel that I was with Jesus when he was on the cross. I've always felt that. Maybe that's why he's come to me
wonderful.
For a few times. Yeah. But anyways, okay, without further ado, we're going to close our show here. Have a great day, Marnie. You're beautiful. I love you dearly. Already, I
well,
love
thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's just been an honor to have this conversation, and you know, thank you for being you.
Yeah, you too. You too. So everybody, you have a great day. And as I always close my show, and this is not going to be any different, believe in things you cannot see; they really are there. And for that, We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.